The other thing I want to say is that this is just the end of the first day. And it might be intense, it might not be. It's a lot of social contact. So that's usually intense, it depends. We're all different. But just to acknowledge that we're in a process that lasts several days. There's no need to push anything or force anything. It got going. And I would give you a tip from my own experience is remember that you can always return to zero. So if there's nothing to maintain. So if you've had a deep insight or a realization or you've got a bit high or something, it will go. That is normal. See? But what doesn't go is zero. And it's a very good place to know about, isn't it? I mean, I'm only just saying the obvious, that you return to zero, where you're nothing, nobody, nothing to do. And then find out what the next gift is. So we don't have to, you know, keep something going, all of that very obvious, sensible stuff, but sometimes it's just good to say it. Because and also just take care of yourself. It can be tiring being with a lot of people all the time. Or if you've got jet lag or for whatever reason you've been working, suddenly the tiredness hits, well, have a nap or something. Not when I'm talking. But. It's kind of infectious though, isn't it? You know what I mean? It just gets kind of. So, pause again while I figure out what we're going to do. I love facilitating groups, and I love not knowing what I'm going to do and seeing what zero. The other thing I occurred to me was just to say that we will be doing some of these experiments again and again. We like the no-head circle. And they gain with repetition because you return to zero and listen and sense again what it has to say to you. So experimental, sort of come to it and just see what it says to you, and then hopefully say it. See, so I think if we stand up and go into two no head circles, please, with about 10 in each, and look down. Yeah, get close and look down. And you've done this 2 or 3 times already. And you've heard people articulate it. Now, I mean, it doesn't need any words. It's a beautiful thing just to do without words. So for half a moment, half a minute, you see, because it kind of is, I say, radiating non-verbally. Okay, so Karen, well, let's get the clock, shall we? And yep. Put one in each. So we're going to do this was all in the plan, of course. This is called the Well of Time. And I will say some things about it. And then, of course, you're free to improvise and so on. But as you look down now, you see the clock down there. And the clock represents time. So there's like a well, looking down a well. That's why we call it the Well of Time. And time is down there in the well, or the representation of time. And time and change go together, time and movement. So is each clock got a moving hand there?
Yes.
Yeah, good. All right. So you can see that the second hand is marking out the passage of time. Time and change go together. See? And as you look down, notice at the top of the circle whether there's anything changing at the top, anything moving. Now, yes or no, is there anything moving at the top?
No.
So no movement, it's still. Where there's no movement, no change, right? No change at the top? Mm-hmm. It's the same as when you did this morning at the top, right?
Yeah.
So where there's no change, no time. So we say, I'm looking from the timeless into time. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
That's an amazing, I mean, that is fast track to timelessness. Looking from the timeless into time. Now, just while you've been standing there, the second hand will have gone round once or twice. Did anything change at the top?
No.
This is superb. This is just, I mean, this is just... So I'm going to give you another little idea here, because we'll probably do this again, because the more we do it, the more we see and hear and feel, and it speaks to us, you see. But here's something that you might consider. This building, this convent, is our temporary home for a few days. This room is your temporary home for a couple of hours this evening. And where you live at home, I suspect, is a temporary home, that you haven't always lived there and probably won't always live there. Wherever we are is a kind of temporary home, if you get the idea. You go in a shop and that's a temporary home for 2 minutes, maybe, or 5 minutes. But your true nature is known as your eternal home. And at the top, there's your eternal home. You're always at home. But the view out is into changing homes, changing temporary homes. And you're sharing your temporary home with these other people for a few days. You share your eternal home at the top forever. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, that is wonderful. So for the next couple of minutes, then we'll sit down, but anything you want to just share, or just even a word about that, if you want, about time and the timeless. Okay, we can sit down. Someone picks up the clock.
It's still true, isn't it? You're looking from the timeless into time.
I'll tell you what I like about it. I love being eternal. Right?
Yeah.
I love being eternal.
Yeah.
You can feel it, can't you? I love it.
What I like about it is that it's, because you said I like being eternal, and then my mind goes a bit, but I would wholly agree with there's no beginning here and no end. I can't find any beginning nor an end. But that's another way of thinking. That's another way of thinking about these things. And then I can agree. So my ordinary way of thinking doesn't apply to these matters.
Is it thinking or experience?
Well, for example, the way you said it, Richard, was you used the word eternal, but when I think about it as a person, I can't get my mind around it, because I would agree, of course, I'm not eternal. But when I can see there's no beginning and there's no end to be found, there's no birth, there's no death, then I'm in a whole other realm, and I have other thoughts, and then I can wholly agree. But to that also, I feel I'm someone else agreeing, not to someone actually. I'm in that role myself, so.
So I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm sure.
Yes.
Do you like having no beginning and no end?
The life doesn't even apply, it's just really? The fact.
I love it.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. I love it. We're all different.
Yeah, we're all different, yeah.
Now, can you give one to everyone?
Everyone?
No, you have to get up and...
Okay. You tried. You may have cleaned them.
This is an accurate representation of you. So we've done the mirror this morning. The mirror is absolutely kind of central. The self, who your image, it's just so central in our lives, isn't it? And to sort it out where it is and everything. So we're going to add the time dimension in, but if you just hold it out, and I like the fact it distorts, you know, because I mean, it's not that far off the way I think about myself. Anyway, note you holding it in your hand there, and notice, wouldn't you agree that your face is at the far end of your arm and not the near end?
Yeah.
So, just relax for a moment with it. As you know, I'm very keen on normalizing this and articulating it and admitting it in public. And although it is kind of a bit repetitive, it's important, I would say. So it's worth experimenting with. Because when you hear yourself saying, my face is there and not here, that is not normal in society. Mm-hmm. And it might be becoming a bit normal here, I don't know. But it is worth actually, I find, saying that. You hear yourself say the truth, if it's the truth for you. You can do it in different ways. You can just say, well, I see my face there and not here. See, or I could say, my face is there and not here. There's different ways of putting it, so you feel at ease. You don't say anything that isn't true for you. But who would like to volunteer? Just to say, you know, either my face is there, not here, or it's at the far end of my arm, at the near end, I have no face, it's there and not here, and you use your finger to point. So just 5-year-old stuff. Right?
My face is over there, not here.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. Yeah. Right? It's impressive to say, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's very unusual.
It's unusual?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. One day, I think it'll be normal. But at the moment, not. Someone else. But, yeah.
I see my face there at the end of my arm, but I don't see my face here.
Yeah. And we understand.
Is my face in this mirror safely? It's not up here.
Yeah. Not here. My face is not here. Yeah. One other person?
Okay. I'm sensing that there's something floating in space and I'm seeing some kind of an image. It looks very different this way or that way, and I have no clue what that is. It's some kind of a face. I don't really would say that it's my face. I don't have a face.
Say it.
I don't have a face.
Yeah. This is a profound thing to say. Because we can all see your face. But what you're declaring is from your point of view, you don't have one. it's huge. It's huge. It's not a trick. It's not a game. I do not have a face here. It's a fantastic thing to say. These are, they come back and back and back to the same things. The mirror is a great teacher. Fantastic teacher. It shows you where your face is. Where it is. It's there and not here. And the thing about the headless way, if you like, oh, whatever you want, you know, about this, is it is standing up for yourself. Everyone else can see your face. You kind of got to be independent and say, well, I get it, you all see my face, but I don't have one. But here you can say it amongst friends who understand what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a face there?
No.
No.
I have a face there.
Yeah.
I even don't know whether it's my face.
Uh-huh, yeah. These things are for doing over and over because the message is so simple and is so different from what society says. And one is sort of affirming the simple truth when you say it. So the other thing, because we've just done the time one, is that that one was born and will die. It's getting older. He's getting older. He will die. I say, this one won't. Now, you might put it differently, right? I look forward to hearing from you. But that, if I take that seriously, that is an amazing thing to say. And I believe that most of you, if not everyone, understand what I'm talking about. Of course, Richard, what you see will die.
Is it also a powerful thing to say?
Yeah.
A powerful?
Yes. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But I was wondering.
I say it is. It is for me. Yeah. And to declare this in public is a powerful thing. So that one will die, this one will not. And I don't want to die. I'm not saying I'm above, you know. I quite like being Richard, and so, but this is the truth. Oh, that one will die. I will not. I will not. Anyone else like this? Because we've done the time thing. We've looked into time from the timeless. We're looking into time here. This person that we deeply identify with. I do anyway. See, that will go, but this won't. Does someone else want to declare that in public? Yeah,
I mean, this one is time-bound.
Time-bound?
Time-bound. And here is timeless. Free of time.
You see, that is just such a profound thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
This one is aging and dying right now. Here it's not.
Yeah. And you see, in ordinary society, people go, I have no idea what you're talking about. Of course you're going to die. Right? But here we understand, that's a wonderful thing, we get it. That your true nature is eternal or timeless or not in time or no beginning, no end, or however you want to say it. And that is so important, isn't it? For how you actually live your life. It's very practical. It's energizing, it's rejuvenating, paradoxically. Someone else want to...
There is birth and death here.
Yes.
And there's no birth and death here.
Yeah. We get it, you see. We get it. Yeah.
This one changes all the time. And this one doesn't know time.
Understood. And it makes a difference to know you can say that and be received, right?
Yes.
So here's a variation on this one. The one you see here will die, but the one I see here will not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm really taking on board that for you, I will die. See, I'm not in denial, but for me, I won't. Someone try that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you, it might seem that I'm going to die, but
I can't die.
No. We are absolutely, profoundly convinced you are going to die, right? But we fully celebrate the fact that who you really are will never go and never came and it's always there.
Yes,
you see. Because we've had so much day after day saying we will, you know, or that's the way we relate. We need to start standing up for the truth about who we are. Someone else, you know, for you, I will. You know, you can lay it on a bit.
Well, there in the mirror, I see a face. It has changed over time. It will die. But here, in the clarity, there was no birth. So, how could it die?
Yeah. Yes. Understood?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something you learn, it's something you keep discovering, isn't it? Wonderful. Anyone else? We've got more to do, but yeah.
You are going to die. I will never die.
But you're going to die. You're going to die, but I'm not.
Let's make it to you.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not you. Douglas Harding, who said, before I was headless, I looked in the mirror and I went, oh my God. And after I was headless, I said, I'm glad I'm not like you. I'm glad I'm not like you. There's a very moving video, Douglas, that was put on, I think, the French channel recently. And he's just talking to the camera. And he's saying, here, no marks of age, no wrinkles. And there he is, and he's looking quite, you know, he's elderly at the time, probably 80 or something. And I just look at that, I say, that is so brilliant. It's so independent. It's so being true to yourself. Because you know for everyone else, that's true. See? But in the face of that, you say, no. And the feedback all the time is of you as a person, isn't it? It's unremitting feedback. And so this is the kind of a response to that. So another little story here is as Douglas Harding used to tell us, you look down in your arm at your hand, at your mirror, your face there. So you want to see your arm. So you might rest it, you know, so you don't get tired. So you say that your face is at the far end of your arm, and at the near end, your empty, open, vast space. And if you follow your look up your arm, from your mirror up your arm, you see. In fact, you can take your finger and you just start on the face there, and then you bring it up, you see, and you just follow it up, and you come to a point where it disappears and then appears. So that we call that the threshold, like a doorway threshold. Mm-hmm. So you can see where your finger disappears and then reappears. That is the threshold, you see. And a little bit of a story, but if this is a threshold, the kind of doorway into the vast open space, you see, you step from the limited into the unlimited. You get the idea? You see? So we call this, you have spiritual paths. Some of them are very long ones. See? And this one is the, Douglas used to call it, the 1 meter path. From your appearance, which is born and will die, to your eternal reality, which is unborn and undying. And you step from one world into the other over a threshold. Janus. All right, so you look down your arm and you see the face there that is mortal and will die. That's the world of change, impermanence, death, birth and death. And then as you are looking down at your arm, at that face, you can still look at your face, but include your arm in your periphery, in your, and it leads the 1 meter path from your appearance there, your human appearance, all the way back to that threshold, and then you step over into your reality, and you travel from the land of birth and death to the land of eternal beauty, or whatever you want to call it, or the non-beginning, non-end is a word. See, now, there you are. There's the 1 meter path. It's not difficult. And you can travel it in a, you know, less than a second, probably. See, or instantly. 1 meter path. It's outrageous. Now, what we're doing in a way is normalizing this. We're bringing onto the front burner. We're looking to see if it's true, and if it's true, we're going to say it. Because it's not a small thing, it's a big thing. So, what I'm going to invite one or two of you to do is to look across at the circle and say, you can say, I believe, or I think, or you know, however you want to say it, that I believe that you're in the same wonderful condition as I am, that where you're looking out of is eternal and unchanging and spacious and wasn't born and won't die. Agreed?
Yes.
Agree. Yeah. Now, we've gone public, right? Gone public about that. You could say it back to me.
Yes, so I believe and I assume that where I'm looking from is the same point of view where you're looking from, the eternal.
I love the eternal bit, by the way. Yes, now not exactly agreeing, but admitting it's a wonderful thing. If you want change in the world, you've got to stand up and say. It won't happen if you hide away. Especially this truth. Someone else. Just pick someone on the other side. We're experimenting. See, this is a friendly situation where you can do this. Someone want to have a go?
Yeah. I can see from here, there's nothing I can see here. And I'm sure that if you are looking at me, you also are not seeing anything.
And in terms of time?
Here. In terms of time?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're also timeless here, like I.
Yes, I see that I am timeless here, and I'm you're experiencing the same thing right now, that you're timeless there.
You know, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when you, growing up, your parents and your teachers don't say, I believe that you are the same, you've been bad. Go to the corner, or you've been good. They don't negotiate and say, I believe, you know, I can't be quite sure, but, you know, I think that you. So, I mean, it's quite good to be quite bold that you are eternal there.
And you are eternal.
I am, yeah. Okay. I mean, it's actually saying a brilliant thing, you see. I don't feel I need to qualify. Because we don't qualify in ordinary life. We just say it. You know, you're looking good today or whatever, you know. you are looking really good there to yourself. I mean, you're absolutely clear and boundless and timeless.
Yes, and you too.
I am.
Really timeless.
Really timeless. God, you're looking timeless today.
That's a good one.
You're as eternally beautiful as you always have been.
No doubt about it.
Look again, and you see, this is experimenting, this seeing what the truth is. Where is your face? Where is that face that was born and will die? That person you identify with, the name. Just think of their name, their age, their nationality, their gender, their career, their job, their relationships, all that. Now, while you're entertaining all that, be aware of the near end of your arm, where you're totally free of all of that. I say, I am. Yeah. Just pause for a moment, I guess.
Maybe say something else with you.
Yeah.
I just noticed here, like when I look in the mirror, it's distorted. But that is actually what life does. It distorts us. I mean, not only is the mirror distorting us, but life itself is always distorting us, you know, all the different things. Here, there's never, it's completely 100% not distorted. It's as clear as it can be.
Yeah.
It's as obvious as it can be.
Yeah.
And out there in the mirror, everything, you know, it can be sort of okay. It's never going to be as okay as it is here.
I find every time I look in the mirror, I've got a different person there. In detail, it always changing, and some moments it's good, and then it's bad, and it's good, and it's bad, and it, I mean, it shifts and changes it like mad. It's very unreliable or disappointing often. So this distortion is sort of normal.
Yes.
All right.